Well, hey, thanks so much for joining the LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Paul Pretty. I'm the student and the college pastor at our LifePoint Delaware campus. This past Sunday, as we continued our Kingdom Citizen series, we were in the Gospel of Matthew, of course, in chapter 7, verses 7 through 14. And this passage was really about prayer, that you and I, through faith in Christ, we get to approach the God of the universe as a father, which is just an immense privilege. And not only do we get to approach him, but we get to ask of him, we get to seek him, we get to knock on the door, and God will answer. We will find as we seek. The door will be opened to us as we knock. And we get to see that God is a good, loving, heavenly Father. In the same way that you and I desire to give our children good gifts, God desires to give us good gifts. And that is incredible and should lead us to lives that are marked by prayer. And one of the things I would say is that if our lives are not marked by prayer, what that might reveal is that we haven't quite understood just the privilege that prayer is. That we might be neglecting really the privilege of prayer that Jesus has purchased us at a very high price on the cross. And so maybe this message was really an opportunity for you to see that God does desire to give you good gifts, that God does desire for you to come to him, to seek, to knock, to ask things of him, that he desires us to ask a lot of him. And as we ask, I think we always need to remember that maybe our definition of a good gift might be different than God's definition of a good gift. For example, my 2.5-year-old son typically asks to drive home from life group. Now, according to him, me allowing him to do that would be a good gift. But I know as a hopefully loving father and a good father that if I allowed him to do that, it would result in a fiery car crash, or we'd never leave the driveway, right? Neither of which would be a good thing. But we need to remember that God has our best interests in mind, and we should ask, and we should seek, and we should knock. But we need to remember that as a good heavenly Father, God ultimately knows what's best for us, and we need to trust that he is doing what's best for us. He's doing what's going to lead us into righteousness. We also need to be reminded, too, I think, that as we seek and as we ask and knock, that we should be doing so ultimately for God's glory and God's kingdom and God's purposes, not our own glory, not our own kingdom, and not our own purposes. And one more point I'd say that before we sort of get to the main point here is that as we pray, prayer really, I think, opens our eyes to see God's activity and power in our lives. When we're praying for things, we're often praying because we realize we can't do it ourselves, right? And so as we're praying, our eyes are really open to see that it's God that's working, it's God that's moving, it's God that's doing incredible things. And so I hope for you that that's what you're experiencing and that's what you're seeing. The last point we ended on, and really the sort of the main sort of drive of the message, was that we are a dependent people who must rely on our dependable God. That we're a dependent people who must rely on our dependable God. And the reason that we got to that point was because I want you to imagine for a moment you are an original hearer of this message, right? You've hiked to the top of this mountain. You're all excited to hear this king's inaugural address. You imagine maybe as an early adopter that you're going to be placed in a position of privilege and of power here on earth. And then as Jesus is speaking, and you're taking this in, not over the course of a couple of months, but maybe in a 30-minute message. Jesus is saying, look, it's the poor in spirit who are blessed. It's the meek who are going to inherit the earth, that the persecuted are blessed. Jesus says that unless we surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, we won't enter the kingdom of heaven. He says that if we've lusted, we've committed adultery, that we're supposed to love our enemies, we aren't supposed to worry. We aren't to judge others or will be liable of judgment. He sets this impossible standard. And I have to imagine as you're taking all of this in, and the reason I can imagine it because I've been feeling it as we've been studying this, but as you're taking all this in real time, you could just sort of just feel the tension there that like people are just crestfallen. They're looking almost hopeless. And Jesus is about to wrap up his sermon just in a few short passages. And this is partially conjecture or speculation, so I need to be careful in the way that I say this. But I would imagine Jesus is looking at them and almost in a moment of saying, like, look, it's not up to you. Ask, seek, knock. I know that I've set an impossible standard. That's why you need me. And at the same time, I'm also giving you a way to be made and conformed into my image. Ask, seek, and knock. If you look at the parallel passage here in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is saying the same thing, but there's a slight variation that I think is important for us to note. Jesus says in Luke 11, 13, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Right? And then I want to connect this to verses 13 and 14, because I think that's important as well. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." In this, Jesus is obviously the gate here. John 10 says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." And so Jesus is saying, look, you gotta come through me. And as you come through me, you're going to realize that you don't measure up to the standard, which is why you needed me in the first place. And throughout this message, Jesus, I think, has been bringing us to the end of ourselves and really to the beginning of him, right? He's saying, look, come to me. And the promise from Luke chapter 11 is that God will send the Holy Spirit. And you and I know that on our own, we can't do any of this, right? We need to be renewed, right? We need the Holy Spirit to work in us, to conform us to his image. Now, in one sense, the second you and I place our faith in Jesus, we are washed clean, we are adopted into God's family, we are viewed as holy and blameless, right? We are justified before God. And at the same time, you and I are also called to look more and more like Christ over time, right? We are called to be sanctified, right? And so what this passage, in part, I think, is teaching, while it's certainly teaching about the incredible privileges of prayer and how we should approach God in prayer, I think it's also leading us and really giving us encouragement that maybe we've been convicted by how much we judge others. Well, you're not alone in that. Ask, seek, knock. God will send his Holy Spirit and work in you in such a way that he can transform that judgment into mercy, kindness, right? Maybe you've been just consumed by anxiety, right? And God can send his Holy Spirit to consume you with peace instead. It's not up to you. God doesn't leave us alone in our mess. Jesus came into our mess so that we didn't have to be there alone and so that we could have a way out. And I think in many ways, this passage is also teaching us something similar, that we can approach the God of the universe with confidence. And as we approach and as we ask and as we seek and as we desire to be conformed into his image, he responds and he sends his Holy Spirit to do what only he can do. I want to say again, thanks so much for joining today's Drivecast. I hope you'll join again tomorrow. I'm going to take a minute to pray for you, and then I'm going to leave some time for you to pray on your own as well. So let's pray together. Father, you're good and you're faithful. Lord, we love you and we're so thankful for the way in which you work. Father, we're so thankful that you don't leave us alone in our brokenness, but you send a way, and you sent the ultimate way in Christ, that we would be made new, that we wouldn't be again left in hopelessness, but we have an ultimate hope, and that is Jesus. And as we've placed our faith in Christ, we're also called to look more and more like Christ over time. And you don't leave us in that alone either. You have promised us that as we ask, as we seek, as we knock, that you will send your Holy Spirit. And again, we're entering the narrow gate. We're doing that in the name, the authority, and the power of Jesus. But God, we need you to send your Spirit to transform us into really vessels of glory for your kingdom and for your honor. So Father, do that in us. Do in us what only you can do. So Lord, we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.